Bibles tonight will be in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18 tonight. And we will pick up here in our series, in the book of Revelation, studying end time prophecy. And by the way, as we study the book of Revelation, you know, we're looking at some things that are really maybe interesting that we love to maybe try to speculate and try to figure out. And certainly many tremendous figures that we see in the book of Revelation and what's going to happen, thinking about the Antichrist, the false prophet. We're talking about Mystery Babylon, or we're going to say some more about that tonight, and the tribulation. But may we never lose focus that the purpose and the function of the book of Revelation is not to reveal the Antichrist, it's to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the focus. He is the Lamb of God. And by the way, we're going to get to that in chapter 19. We're going to see this come to a climax when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. What a great day that will be. And so we praise the Lord for that. And now we get a chance to study what's coming down the pike here. We're going to be in Revelation 18. Start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication, and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her, and lament her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we approach your holy word tonight and desire to study it and to learn more of you and what your will is, Lord, we pray that your spirit would illumine our minds and our hearts tonight, that you would give us understanding. Lord, I pray that you would also convict us and make application, Lord, for what will come in the future we need to prepare for today. Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts that we have hope in Jesus Christ. When we lose all hope in the things of this world, we have hope in Christ. And Lord, would you just build us up in our faith, minister to our hearts tonight, and have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to preach on the fall of commercial Babylon. The fall of commercial Babylon. Just to recap, Revelation chapter 17, we looked at mystery Babylon, and we saw the judgment on that great mother of harlots. And we noticed that here in chapter 18, we see, again, Babylon is mentioned. And so the question then comes up, is this the same Babylon? Are these the same two, are these referring to the same exact thing? Chapter 17 and chapter 18. There's a lot of good Bible teachers who differ on this. And some people point to two manifestations of Babylon, one religious and one commercial. And others see the two as one being judged at the same time. I believe if you really look at what's happening in each chapter, it is best to see them as intertwined but still distinct. In other words, they are very similar one to the other, but they are distinct. They have their differences. Revelation 17 and 18 show that Babylon, mystery Babylon, and here Babylon, the great city, are definitely closely linked. Both are under the rule of the Antichrist. The Antichrist has a strong power over them. Both are filled with blasphemy and the fornication of men. Both hate the saints and even shed their blood. Both are under judgment and will be destroyed. However, there are some significant differences as well. In chapter 17, Mystery Babylon, the symbol is of a woman who's a harlot, right? She's the mother of harlots. But here in chapter 18, the symbol is of a great city. In chapter 17, Babylon is identified with Rome, the city on seven hills, so it's inland. It's a city that's identified with Rome, we believe. Whereas commercial Babylon here, if you read what some of the verses teach, it seems like it's a coastal city that ships come and go and do trade with. Revelation 17, again, it's a woman who's a whore, mother of harlots. But in Revelation 18, commercial Babylon is a habitation, a city, and even a marketplace, we could say. In chapter 17, she is guilty of religious abominations. Chapter 18, she is guilty of greed and self-indulgence, materialism. Chapter 17, Babylon is destroyed by a political power that previously supported her. That confederation of 10 kingdoms, right? Remember the 10 kings representing the one world empire? They eventually turned against her and would destroy her. And the Bible says that the kings rejoiced when she was destroyed in chapter 17. But in chapter 18, Babylon, commercial Babylon, is destroyed directly by horrendous judgments that come from God, and the kings of the earth weep and lament for her. And so that's why I believe they are distinct. They are very similar, but they are distinct. They are different. Religious Babylon and commercial Babylon. Religious Babylon in chapter 17, you also got to remember the timeline, is judged right in the middle of the tribulation period, halfway through the tribulation period, because that's when the Antichrist, who was using the one world church, eventually flips the script and he says, now you're all going to worship me. And so that's when they all turn on Mystery Babylon and becomes this worship of the Antichrist. That's at the midway point. But commercial Babylon is judged at the end of the tribulation. And we're going to see next week in chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ returns for that. The opening phrase, Revelation 18, says, and after these things. So that indicates that there's been some time that has passed from the events of chapter 17. So we can deduce that the destruction of religious Babylon is different from the destruction of commercial Babylon. I hope that makes it kind of clear for us understanding this. But let's start off tonight, number one, the fall of Babylon announced. An angel comes down from heaven with great power and announces this judgment. Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen. And the destruction of Babylon here in chapter 18 should be compared with what we saw in chapter 16, verse 19. Let's go back there. Revelation 16, verse 19. This was a prophecy that was given a few chapters back. It says, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And that was the judgment, again, on the Gentile nations and the judgment against political and commercial Babylon that we see taking place here in chapter 18. Now, the downfall of the city of Babylon, the Bible tells us, is going to bring in a lot of demonic forces here. The Bible says in verse 2, this angel cried mightily, Revelation 18:2, with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And so this is a reference to demonic spirits, fallen angels, that find their habitation here in this wicked city. This city that used to be so great and powerful and mighty, and now look how sad it has fallen. And so we see that also that this commercial Babylon is going to have a relationship with all the kings and merchants of the earth. The Bible says in verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You see, this evil relationship that they have is going to make a lot of people wealthy. A lot of trade, a lot of money involved in this. And so we see how critical commercial Babylon will be to the tribulation period. But then we see God's indictment against commercial Babylon. Let's skip over to verse 6. The Bible says, reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. And the idea here is not that she's going to get an award. Reward here is not in a positive sense. It's in a negative sense. It's the idea of give her her due. Give her exactly what she deserves. In fact, double it is the judgment that's given here. And so we see this principle of divine retribution, that God is a merciful God because he allowed this sin to kind of escalate, multiply, and multiply. And by the way, all of this, the foreshadowing is happening right now in our lifetime. I believe that. And God's allowing this wickedness, this wicked system to continue growing. And you know, some people take that as, well, God isn't there. God isn't real. No, God is there. God is real, but he's merciful. But eventually his patience will run thin and enough will be enough. And the Bible says, reward her. And it's going to be a time for divine retribution. The debt is going to have to be paid. And the Bible says that in this case, it's going to be doubled because of how wicked Babylon is and these wicked nations that have drunken themselves drunk with her wine. And so the Bible gives this indictment against her. And it says in verse number 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. To live deliciously is to live luxuriously. That means without restraint. And just this luxurious, lavish way of living that really was a detriment to so many people. It was a greedy, selfish way of living. And so we see this lifestyle that God is condemning here. And when you read through just all of God's indictments here against a commercial Babylon, you can see that it's a complete rebuke against the spirit of commercialism and materialism and greed. And it's not just reserved for in the future. I think we can apply that right here and right now. There's so much greed around the world. People are only consumed with money, 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 and how much more they can get, and material possessions. And that's why our Lord had to remind his followers not to lay up treasure on earth, lay up treasure in heaven. And you know why we don't bother laying up treasure only on earth? It's because moth and rust corrupts it. Eventually it all withers away. You can't take it with you to heaven when you die. It doesn't last. And so we have to guard against, as Christians, this materialistic spirit. And I've mentioned the last few weeks that we see the system that's in place in the end times with the Antichrist leading the one world empire. And we can see that it's essentially a socialistic, communistic system. And I think it's unbiblical. I think we have to guard against that in our day. But on the other extreme is this idea of just greedy capitalism that says it's all about money and profits at all costs, no matter the crime done to people. No matter the cost, it's just all about getting more money, big business, greed. We got to guard against that too. You know, many Christians fall prey to that way of thinking. It's the American way, the almighty dollar. Make as much money as you can and go for it no matter the cost. Lie, cheat your way through life. It's all about getting that extra buck. That's not the way God's people are to live. No, we're living for a higher purpose. I read in a commentary written way back in 1935. By William Newell, he said this: the spirit of commercialism, which has seized upon the human race, can you imagine if he was living in 2020? The spirit of commercialism, which has seized upon the human race, is fast blotting out real human ties to home, church, or country. We scarcely know how far we have drifted. Our forefathers were content with their living. But the forgetting of God is fast falling upon earth under the soul-stifling power of universal greed. Commercialism brings spiritual deadness and insensibility as nothing else does. In other words, having that greedy, covetous spirit is a deadening effect to our spirit and our soul. Because what are we doing? We're trading the eternal for the temporal. We're focusing only on the carnal, the earthly, instead of the spiritual, the heavenly. God is never pleased with that. I'm not saying it's wrong to earn money and to have even nice things, but it is wrong to make that the focus of your life, where you're even willing to sacrifice the spiritual to obtain the temporal. That's a big problem. And if William Newell could say that in 1935, how about today? And by the way, he touched on some interesting things. This chasing after money, we sacrifice home. Parents are no longer raising their children because they're just searching after the almighty dollar, and our homes are broken and destroyed. We're sacrificing church. Our ministries are floundering because, well, it's just all about making money, big business, profits, and country. I don't want to say too much about this tonight, but there's the reality is, if you look at globalism and all that is, it's all about how can we get more money. And you think about why a country like the U.S. does business with countries like China that's killing Christians and murdering Christians and suppressing truth. Why would we ever do business with a country like that? Because of money. Why would we do business with other countries that are wicked and perverse and totally against the ideologies we say we stand for? Because we want more money. And that's the big problem. It's going to really come to a climax here in the tribulation period. This spirit of commercialism and greed. And the Bible here doesn't make greed look and commercialism look pretty and nice. In fact, it deserves judgment. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. And so she's going to rise to this great power and have great influence, but will be struck down suddenly, the Bible says. It will be sudden with death, mourning, famine, and ultimately utter destruction by fire. And it reminds me of the parable of the rich fool that our Lord told, who thought he's going to build himself more barns, get wealthier, get more money. Well, he didn't realize that that night he was going to lose everything, including his own life. And so we need to consider the bigger picture of life. It's not just about the next making the next dollar, is it? No, there's an eternity that we have to live in light of. And so we see the foolishness and the wickedness of greed. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Revelation 3, verse 17. And this is just a reminder when our Lord rebuked the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 17. And one of the rebukes here is, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was known for its medicine, for its trade, for many things. And the people of the church there, they were wealthy. They were doing well economically. But notice what our Lord says. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. If we could apply that to common vernacular, people around driving around nice cars, have a nice big house, mansion, they got a nice bank account and investments and assets, but inside our Lord sees right through all of that and says, wretched, wicked. And God help us if we as Christians embrace living for all those things and we forsake living for the Lord. So these plagues will come on Babylon, commercial Babylon, in just one day. And so we see this fall of Babylon. But secondly, the kings and merchants of the earth will lament. The kings and merchants of the earth lament. The same kings who were participating in this wickedness and wealth of Babylon will mourn her passing. In fact, in verse number, let's go back to Revelation 18. And let's look at verse number 9. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. I want to say a little bit more about here. This mention of the city, that great city, Babylon. And some people believe that the ancient city of Babylon will be rebuilt in the tribulation period and will be a center, a capital for all of this trade and commercialism and greed and wickedness. In fact, by the way, Babylon is basically in modern day Iraq. And that was one of the goals of Saddam Hussein, was to rebuild Babylon and to rebuild this city. And there have been people that have wanted to do that. But a lot of people see this as a reference to the ancient city of Babylon being rebuilt in the end times. John Walvoord said it is possible that Rome might be the ecclesiastical capital. Remember, we saw in chapter 17, the city on seven hills and all the real false religion and abomination. So Rome might be the ecclesiastical capital and rebuilt Babylon, the political and commercial capital. It is also conceivable that Rome might be the capital in the first half of the tribulation, and that Babylon, it will be the capital in the second half of the tribulation. And so interesting takes there, but nevertheless, the situation ends the same, that God is going to do something about it and judge her utterly. It's prophesied even way back in the Old Testament. I'll give you just one, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19. Says, in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees excellently, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you know history, obviously, ancient Babylon was destroyed when the Medes and Persians came in. But much of Bible prophecy has a dual reference, where there are things that happen in the immediate that will also foreshadow what takes place in the future. And so I believe that refers to this judgment against this wicked, great city of Babylon. And the Bible takes time in Revelation 18 to even itemize the wealth of Babylon in verses 12 down to verse 17. And it lists all her luxury, the gold, the precious stones, costly apparel, all the nicest clothes that money can buy, the rich furnishings of their homes, only the best wood and materials for building, expensive perfumes and ointments, abundance of food. It mentions all of the cattle and the fruits. So basically everything man could desire. These are not just needs, these are all wants the Bible's mentioning here. All the wants and lavish ways of living that man can have. But notice in verse 14, it says, "And the fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all." How quickly the riches of this world can be taken away from us, can't they? The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." See how foolish it is to put all your trust in the riches of this world? Because eventually they grow wings and fly away. They really like to do that sometimes, right? Sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, where did all that go? It seems like there's a hole in our pocket sometimes. And so, you know, don't get too attached to the things of this world. Verse 17 says, "For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and all many as trade by sea stood afar off." All of the riches are quickly brought to nothing. And notice, they're all grieving. The merchants, the shipmasters, they're all grieving here. Why are they grieving? Are they grieving because they're broken over their sin? They want to repent and get right with God? No, they're grieving because that's all their money, all their income. Now there's no more trades to sell. There's no more money to make. That's why they're grieving. How sad. How tragic. They mourn that great city. Their mourning is the loss of wealth that commercial Babylon was bringing to them. And you know, again, this is a warning for us today as Christians to guard against materialism, greed, and this loving of money and hoarding of wealth and covetousness. As Christians, we are called to be good stewards. We realize that it's not ours. All of the resources we have, some of us it's a lot more than others, some of us a lot less, but whatever God has given us, we're content. We say, "Lord, it's enough. If you don't choose to give me anything else, Lord, I'm content. But Lord, help me to manage this well. Lord, help me to use this to be a blessing to your ministry, to others." That's the way we ought to treat money and resources and finances. They aren't evil in and of themselves, but to love them is. But we can use them for the furtherance of the gospel to bring glory to God. That's how we should seek to do it. But here, this is a rebuke against the greed and materialism. And even reading through this list here, in verse number 19, it says, "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." How quickly it can be taken away. Then my third point tonight, all heaven rejoices. All heaven rejoices. In contrast to the weeping and wailing on earth, there's a command given to rejoice up in heaven. In verse 20, it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Should God's people rejoice in God's judgment? You know, we don't rejoice in the destruction and the calamity, but we rejoice in the fact that God is a God of justice and righteousness, and he punishes evil. The righteous are rewarded and the evil are judged. We rejoice in that. We praise the Lord for that. And this judgment is a vindication because, you see, commercial Babylon, with all her wealth and greed, was also keeping busy persecuting and killing the saints. In verse 24, it says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." You see, there's a lot of blood And God had to requite that blood. He had to avenge that blood. And so here, God tells all of heaven, all the saints, to rejoice, because I've avenged you. We praise the Lord that God is an avenger. And so we see this illustration of the angel, verse 21, takes up a stone like a great millstone and casts it into the sea. And this is an illustration. A similar illustration is given in Jeremiah 51. You get a chance to read that in verses 61 to 64. But this illustration represents the destruction of Babylon, how it's violently cast out into the sea, never to be seen again, never to be found. In other words, utterly destroyed, left without a trace. In verses 22 and 23, John writes in vivid poetic language the extent of God's judgment against Babylon, how all the industry, commerce, and entertainment, hey, even things like weddings, no more. Things like the bride and the bridegroom, the light of a candle, the things that men used to enjoy and revel in will be taken away and gone forever. And again, the reason for all of this is in verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. It's a sad reality, but the end times is a great time of wealth and great big government. I mentioned the government's going to basically take over everything. One world religion. But what about true Christians? True Christians that are alive during the tribulation period are going to face a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering. It's going to be an awful time. But we thank God that God's going to avenge them. God's going to see to it that He judges the wicked and He rewards the righteous. And so I want to remind us tonight that we don't serve money. We don't serve the earthly things. We don't serve mammon. We serve Jesus Christ alone. And when our hope is in Him, our hope is secure, and we have eternal life waiting for us, eternal riches waiting for us. You see, we may not think we have much in this world, but in Christ we are rich beyond measure. Do you know that tonight? We have everything we need in Jesus Christ. And we've been born again. We've been adopted. That means we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. We have a mansion waiting for us in heaven. And so we can rejoice in that tonight. While the ungodly are judged, the righteous will be rewarded in heaven. And so today, how are we to live? Well, let's take the command given in Revelation 18, verse 4. Revelation 18, verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." You see, the message of the Bible is to separate. See, these Christians living in the tribulation period had to take a stand and separate from commercial Babylon, not take part, not compromise and get intertwined with this wickedness. Otherwise, they would also take part in her judgment. And so the message of the Bible is never try to get in and fit in. The message is always come out from among them. Be ye separate. We separate from wickedness and sin. And someone said it's inconceivable to think that a true Christian would be a part of mystery religious Babylon, mentioned in chapter 17. Think of the apostate church that's really worshiping the devil. But it could be that some Christians get mixed up with commercial Babylon, with all of this materialistic lure and luxury. It's a constant threat that we have to be on guard against living in this world. And my, what a lesson even now during the Christmas season, where some of the most commercialized materialistic things take place now during this Christmas season that's supposed to be about our Lord. So may the Lord give us the right mind, and may we be obedient and take heed for our lives today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight that we can study and learn from. Father, we pray that you would help us to rejoice in you and all that you've given us, that we would live lives of contentment, but help us to not to love the things of this world more than we love you. Lord, give us a heart also that looks for eternity, that lays up treasure in heaven. And I pray that you help us to guard against materialism, because we see the destruction that it will ultimately lead to. And so continue to bless us and the rest of our meeting tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.